Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. The Gospel of John, chapter 21. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read silently. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. As you're finding your place, if you're able, please would you stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together again this morning. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of the disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you so much. As we thanked our veterans this morning, and rightly so, we thank you, Heavenly Father, this morning for those freedoms that you've given us and the opportunity to read and hear the Word of God preached this morning. Thank you. Now help us this morning to hear what you have for us. Please accomplish that by anointing our pastor with your Holy Spirit power this morning. And Father, if there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know for sure they're going to heaven, that they'll be in heaven, that I pray they would settle it and trust Jesus this morning before they leave. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, I'll ask now that you check and make sure your cell phone is turned off and it will not go off in the service. We would appreciate that very much because it's totally annoying. And we have people in this church who have very short tempers. They might jump up and start slapping you. I don't know about that. I'm not sure. But it just could be the last thing that irritates the fire out of them, and you'll be the result of that. So please help us there. We don't really need a riot today. You ever ask someone a question and they really didn't even care to hear your answer? Or someone asks you a question and they don't care to hear your answer? A couple of times I've noticed that someone will say, Pastor, how you doing? And I can tell they really don't want to know how I'm doing. They're just being courteous. On a couple of occasions I said, I have cancer. I'm 2 weeks left to live. Okay, Pastor, good to see you. Turned around and walked off. I thought, here you go. In John chapter 21, this is after Christ's resurrection from the grave, and on at least two separate occasions after his resurrection, his disciples have seen him. They sit down and had a meal with him on a couple of occasions. Now in John chapter 21 and verse number 1, here's an amazing event. The apostle Peter, one of the leaders of the group, steps up and says, I'm going fishing. Now this is not recreational fishing. He said, didn't say I'm going to go out and drown some worms. Here's what he said. I quit. I'm done with it. I'm not going to do the will of God stuff anymore. I'm not going to be a preacher. He said, I go fishing. He's saying, I'm going back to the fishing business where the Lord found me. I give up. That's it. I'm done. Look here. They're not under any pressure. They're not under any direct persecution. They're not even having any kind of problems. I quit. And the Bible says, six other disciples said, we go with you. And he takes six people with him. Six disciples. Now listen. Not just casual observers. The sons of Zebedee, that's James and John. Peter, James, and John were those three of the inner 12 of the inner three of the 12 disciples who saw things the other disciples didn't even see. They were up on the Mount of Transfiguration. They went out in the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, these guys saw some things with the Lord. Even the other disciples that were close to the Lord didn't see. Those two guys say, yep, we're going with you. And they were fishermen by trade also. Well, we know at least a couple of these guys were fishermen by trade. The rest of them were not. He's just pulled six people out of the will of God and walked off. And then the Bible says, and immediately they got into a ship. Now, we think no big deal. But you have to understand, you're going back to the fishing business. You don't just go down and find a ship and see what you... You have to hire a ship. You have to get nets. You have to do the work. Nope. Immediately, it says here in the verse, John chapter 21, they went into a ship and immediately they went out fishing. Boy, they sure found everything quick, didn't they? Kind of like Jonah, who found the ship going to the other side of the world and the money that he needed. And it's interesting how the devil can open doors for you real quick when you want to quit. And that at night they went out and they went fishing and they made a ton of money. Woo! I mean, they were pulling in fish faster than they could catch them. The nets were bursting. The ship was loaded. They had to come back to dock four times and unload this load. They had made it. They had succeeded. No, the Bible says, and that night, what happened, dear people? They caught what? Zippo, the goose egg. They got no fish. And these are, some of them are experienced fishermen. They tried the right side of the boat. They tried the left side of the boat. They tried, where are my sailors at? Brother Tom, was it stern and stem, stern and starboard? What is it? Port and starboard. Now, starboard's in the front, in the back. I'm an Air Force guy. Come on. You can tell? Who said that? Who said that? Ushers, get that smart punk and throw him in the parking lot. You're right here. Yeah. Starboard's in the back. On the left side, where's the... What's on the right? Well, you don't even know and you were in the Navy. All right, forget it. That's all right. Brother Evans, you were in the Navy. How many ships were you on? None. That's what happens when you join the Navy. You never even see a boat. You saw more boats in the carnival that were going around in a circle in the little water with kids in them. Forget what's what. Let's just say they tried the right side and the left side. Shall we leave it at that this morning? And don't tell me when you go out the door, well, here's starboard and there's stern and there's... I don't care. All right? That's not the point of the message this morning. It's fine. What's the name of the parts of the boat? Okay? In other words, they tried every side of that thing they could think of, caught nothing. All night, no fish. Phew. Crack of dawn, there's Jesus on the shore. Children, have ye any meat? He isn't just asking them if they had some food. He's asking them, how was the fishing? In other words, he's asking them. And in this chapter, he's going to ask them three questions. And I want us to look at them this morning because I believe Jesus would want you to answer the same three questions this morning. How's the fishing? How have ye any meat? And their answer was, well, the wind was just contrary and... It's not really, you know, ever know those people who are really good at hunting or fishing and they take you and they'll say, I guarantee you we'll get something. I'll guarantee you. And you go and you get nothing. And they always come up with these excuses. Well, they must not be in here. They must be over there. And they must be on another part. Something like that. These guys didn't come up with any excuses. Their answer was two simple letters. Nope. We got nothing. And then Jesus comes out with a brilliant statement. Throw your net over the right side of the ship. They tried that, I assure you. They did pull in a whole bunch of fish. One cast, one catch. We didn't read on, but the Bible says, then John turns to Peter and says, that's Jesus. See what happened? It reminded them of events before that had happened with the Lord, and it brought back to mind. And he said, Peter, it's Jesus, the one we quit on. He's standing on the shore. Peter jumps out of the boat, the Bible says, swims to shore. They pull the net of the fish in, rack it up, put up fish on the shore. And the Bible said Jesus already had meal prepared for them. He had bread and fish on the fire waiting for them when they got to shore. And they sit down and have a meal. It wasn't one of those great reunion meals like some of you are ready to have with your relatives. You know, the joy of them coming and the great gathering around the table. And next Sunday, we will do the Thanksgiving thing to get you ready for Thanksgiving. We won't do it today. But you know the great joy of it all. For some of us, the great joy is when they leave the house. That's even better. But either way, it wasn't one of those kind of meals. where they're saying, boy, Lord, how it's so wonderful to see you again. No, it's one of these. Head down. They can't even look at him. And then Jesus asks question number two. And he drills right to Peter. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter gives him the pat and standard answer. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Now you think that would be enough? Wouldn't that be enough? If you ask somebody, do you love me? And they say, I love you. That's enough, right? That's enough. Well, look down in John chapter 21, please. Would you there? Verse number 15, he asked him the first time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Verse 15, he saith, Peter, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he saith unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, the Bible said, because Jesus kept asking him. He gave him the right answer, but Jesus kept asking the same question. Then after being interrogated by the Lord and borne down on by the Lord, Peter turns to John and says, what about him? You know, I'm not the only guy who quit and went to fishing business, you know. What about that guy and those other five fellows over there? What about this guy right here? Go down a little further in John chapter 21. Verse 21, Peter seeth him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? How about John? He quit too, you know. And I wasn't in touch with my inner child, and I didn't feel good about myself. I wasn't in a good place at that time. Jesus' statement in verse 22 is question three, and then it says, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Three questions quickly to be covered this morning. You say, well, I didn't quit on the Lord. Question number one is not really about where you are spiritually in your life as much as how's it going? Well, children, have you any meat? Here's the question. So how is it going with your life? You know, he does care. Oh, by the way, and he does know the answer, the correct answer. Remember back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned and they took of the forbidden fruit and they went and they hid themselves from the presence of God? The Bible said, two people on the earth, how are you going to hide from God? You can't do it in 7.2 billion either. And so the Bible says, God comes to them and says, did you eat of the fruit of the tree? Question, do you think God knows the answer to that question? So why is he asking him? He wants an honest answer. Children, have you any meat? How's it going in this fishing business now that you quit on me and walked off and walked away? How is it with you? Trust me this morning, dear people, God does care. He does. This idea that people get sometimes that God just sort of lets us languish and flop around like fish out of water, like we don't know what's going on and he doesn't know what's going on and doesn't really matter. God cares, my friend. You can be certain of that this morning. Casting all your care upon him, the Bible says, for he careth for you. When he asks the question, friend, look at me. He's asking you to do an evaluation of your life. So how is it going? See, I think today in our lives, we are so, quote, unquote, busy. We have so much stuff in our lives nowadays, and most of it is stuff. And we think our lives are more complex and complicated than people's lives were 50 years ago or 100 years ago. Now, the truth of the matter is, they have more parts and stuff in them, but they're not more complex. Life has never been easy for anybody. And if we're not careful, we'll just go through life and just live it, and that's all that we'll do. And never really take an evaluation of our lives. So look here this morning. We're coming to the end of 2014. Thank you, kiddo. I appreciate it. Because really, like I say, I'm still writing 1984 on my checks. I mean, I can't keep up with this thing. It's going so fast. It is incredible how fast this year has gone. Unbelievable. We're about to end the year of 2014. Have you taken any stock of your life and where you are, how it's going? The way that it is with you and your God? Have you considered this? See, that's the question. Now, for them, he's asking it because they've quit on him. And they walked away, and they fished all night, and they caught nothing. So Jesus' question is almost sarcastic. How's the fishing? All he's trying to do is get them to stop and look at their life and see where it is and what it is. And then he wants them to do this. Look at me. He wants them to answer honestly. I like the fact that they just gave him a two-letter answer. One word, two letters. No. No excuses, no reasons, no concepts behind it all. They didn't go into their past. They didn't pull out the evaluation sheet from the last time they watched Dr. Phil and go through the list of why the stuff is the stuff in their life and what their life was and what their childhood was like and what happened to them and how come they didn't get a tricycle when they were 9 and all the stuff that goes on. You ever just ask somebody how it's going and just expect them to look at you and just give you a simple but direct answer without all the stuff that goes with it? And then you wonder sometimes how much of that is actually true. You people who watch these television shows where someone comes on and tells you what they did, how they live, what happened to them in life, you do understand a lot of that's a bunch of junk. There are dumb people who will get up on national television and tell you everything awful about their lives and all the dumb stuff they've done. Most people aren't going to do that. They're going to tell you how awful everybody was in their life. Let's cut all that this morning. Let's go to one simple question this morning. And don't answer out loud to yourself this morning. So how is it going? You need to get with the Lord on your life and where it is. You say, well, if he already knows, why does he ask? Because he wants you to check it and see. And then he wants you to do this. Listen to me. He wants you to be sincere and honest about your answer. And if the answer is, it's not going well, then the next question is, what are you going to do about that? Have you any meat? No. Jesus says, cast your net on the right side of the ship. I like that, right side. Not the middle, not the back, not the front, not the bow, not the stern, not the starboard, not the leeward. I got all those names down. The truth of the matter is, the right side is just that. He said, put it over the right side of where you should have been all along and let me help you with this. See, folks, look at me. The truth is, most of us should answer and say, life's pretty good. Not perfect, not everything I want, but life's good. I had something to eat this morning if I wanted to. Roof over my head. Live in the greatest country on this planet. Thank both you Americans. I said live in the greatest country on this planet. Thank you very much. Stay awake. It's not time to sleep yet. The truth is, our life's pretty good. Yes, but also if we evaluate it and look at it carefully, there are some things about our life that should be changed and could be. Yes? Okay, then the answer should be, then get to the right side of the ship on this. It's not going too good. Question, why isn't it? Because God's not in on this thing. You understand? You do it your way and leave him out. You can fish all your life and not get one minnow in that net. You do it his way and cast it on the right side of the ship and do it right, then God says, God will take care of those things. It's not to incriminate you. It's not so you feel bad about, okay, all right, my life is lousy. What do you want to know? No, the truth of the matter is, if my life's not good, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to trust the Lord enough to throw your net on the right side of the ship? Are you going to let him do it? You're going to do it his way, or are you going to keep on doing it your way with a life that's not working? Come on, man, think about it. Is it that complicated? Is it such a mess in my life that it can't be fixed with the help of the God of heaven? That's Jesus standing on the shore. Throw it on the right side. Yes, sir. They throw it the net. As soon as they pull it in, they knew what that meant. That was the Lord helping them. They knew what that meant. My friend, look here this morning. If you're here this morning and you're not sure, certain, that you are a child of God, that you know Christ as your Savior, that's your issue today. I was teaching a class on homiletics in Bible college. Homiletics is a class on how to preach. Yeah, I know I shouldn't be teaching that class, but how to preach. This young man got up to preach, young black kid. Nice kid, great kid. He gets up and he said, now I'm going to preach a sermon today. And these are new guys that are just starting out. I'm going to preach a sermon today on the woman with an issue of blood. And my sermon is, she got issues. I thought, that's good. He goes, I don't know how homiletically correct this is, but she got issues. And he took off. It was a great message. I gave him an A. So that was really good. Good stuff. Yeah, we got issues. Salvation is your number one issue. How's it going? I'll tell you how it'll go. I'm not saying get saved, everything will be perfect. I am saying get saved, Jesus will get in the boat with you, friend. That's how you need to do it. You need to settle this thing of salvation and know that you know that you know that you have eternal life. See, I already settled that. Now, my next question is this, then. How come Jesus is on the shore and you're out there fishing without him? How's it going? Caught anything? No, sir. Throw it off the right side of the ship. Pew! That's Jesus again. He'll be right there. I'm not saying you get right with the Lord and everything will turn out perfectly. I am saying this. Friend, if it ain't going the way it's supposed to because you left him out of the boat, it's time to get Jesus back in the boat. Let's make it even more simple. It's time to get right with God. Time to settle up on this stuff. Have you any meat? How's the fishing? Then you go down to the next question where they sit there and they're having the meal. And Jesus starts to drill Peter. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, why do you think he asked him three times the same question when Peter three times gave him the right answer? Because look here, here it is. Because it doesn't make a difference what you tell the Lord. It's what you show him by what you do that proves whether or not you love him. I mean, really? Seriously? You quit? You take six disciples with you. You're sitting there eating the food he's provided you. He asks you if you love him, and you go, sure. Sure. I love you. Huh. Life doesn't look like it, does it? Jesus doesn't have to say that. He just keeps asking him the same question. But Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? See, our love for the Lord isn't demonstrated by what we tell him. Our love for the Lord is demonstrated by what we do. Your day-to-day life proves what you love and who you love. Seriously. Every day of my life, I want to prove to my wife, to my family, to this church, and most importantly, to my Lord that I love him. Now, I can tell him that. I can say it all day long. Haven't you ever had somebody tell you that they loved you and you knew they really didn't, but they didn't want to hurt your feelings, so they just said, yeah, sure, I love you. But then there are those people. See, I believe this with Veterans Day this coming week. I believe this. I believe, and I don't know the reason for everybody who serves their country in the military, but I do believe a vast majority of those who do, they really do love this nation and they want to do their part for our country. I know some of them, it's a job and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff, but I do believe that. So they're over there in the deserts of Afghanistan. The president just doubled the troops back in Iraq again that they took out, just doubled them with 1,500 more. If he'd kept his presence there, we wouldn't have this problem, but we won't go into the politics of it all. Rather than keep
it's a sign that the sermon's over. Good. Well, then, just for that, I'm preaching for 4 more hours because this doesn't have a battery. Don't say amen. You can't even stay awake to a whole sermon. What are you talking about? The point is, the truth of the matter is, my friend, see, here's the issue. Here's the issue. People who are willing to sacrifice for others is those who demonstrate their love. Greater love have no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Now that's love. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these, the fish and the friends and the food of the meal? Do you love me more than all this stuff? Well, yes, Lord, I do. But he's sitting there eating, he's backslidden. He's pulled people out of the will of God. Your actions prove who you love. I have had people tell me, sitting in a conversation as a pastor visiting in their home, well, pastor, I just want you to know I just love the Lord. But everything about their life doesn't prove it. Now, I'm not one of those kind of preachers who goes to somebody's house and uses pulpit tactics and personal dealings. I get up on the coffee table and start letting them have. I mean, I don't do that. But I just sit there and think to myself, how dumb do you think God is? Haven't you ever had that? Look at me. Haven't you ever had that with your children? You ask them a question, they tell you the answer, and you know it's a lie. And you think to yourself, how stupid does that kid think I am? Really? The God of heaven does know everything. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And he would ask you this morning, do you really love me?
I would hope we'd immediately say, well, yes, Lord, I love you. But more importantly, I would hope my life would prove that when I say, yes, Lord. Charles Spurgeon, a preacher many years ago, made a statement once. He said, I want to live in such a way that when I say to Jesus, I love you, Lord, it's as if I could hear him say, I know it's true, Charles. Question number three is down there where he said, what is that to thee? That's when Peter does the blame game. He said, wait, what about this? What shall this man do over here? This guy, he's pointing at John. What about John? You know, he quit too. Matter of fact, when I said, I'm quitting, he went with me. But he still quit, you know. What about him? And Jesus looks at him and says, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. The question is, the answer to the question is this. So what's that got to do with you doing what I told you? Man, we play that blame game good in society. Somebody commits a heinous, horrible crime against society, and everybody's wrong but the person who did it. Well, his dad didn't play catch with him enough in his backyard. He grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. He had a bad childhood. Can I ask you a question? Did any of you have a perfect childhood this morning? Did you get everything you wanted for every birthday you ever had in your cotton-picking life? Did you have a perfect childhood where there were no problems in your home? You never heard your parents argue about anything? You got everything for Christmas and birthdays? I mean, good night once a week. They brought chocolate cake to you in bed so you could have it for breakfast. How many of you had a perfect life? Who had one of those? I didn't get one. Did you get one? No, I don't go. Thank you, David. I don't go in schools and shoot people over it either. Do you understand? I don't walk into McDonald's with a Uzi and start spraying people down because things didn't go my way. Look here, people. Then we got Christians who quit church because somebody in church failed and disappointed them. Man, I'm sorry to hear that. And I am. I wish we were all perfect enough to live up to your standard of righteousness. Because you never failed anybody, have you? See what ridiculous that is? But excuse me. That has nothing to do with what the Lord has told me to do. Do you understand that? What is that to you? In other words, what's that got to do with you doing what you're told? Well, it's only a thing with a thing with a thing. Yeah, get over that. What are you supposed to do? Look here. What has he told you to do? He expects you to do that. When you stand in front of Jesus one day, my child of God, friend, just as I will and you will, and we have that one-on-one judgment seat of Christ appointment, and Jesus looks us in the face, you and I are not going to say, well, it's because of my brother. It's because my mom, my dad, my family. It's because of this, it's because of that. We're going to simply stand there, and he's going to reveal to us what we did with what he gave us. And all that's going to matter is, well done, good and faithful servant. Because what is that to you? What does that have to do with me being obedient to the Lord? You can live on excuses all your life, or you can start saying, okay, enough is enough is enough. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to do what the Lord tells me to do here. And you just stay with it. Otherwise, it just goes on and on. And here's the thing. Please listen. Here's the thing about excuses. Once you decide you're not going to do what you're supposed to because of an excuse, you'll come up with another one for later on. You rarely use the same excuses, you know. And then after a while, folks, we live on excuses instead of just getting it done, what the Lord has told us to do. And also that question is simply, it shows you the sensitivity of the Lord. What is that to you? It simply means this, get over it. Yeah. Get over it. So I had to bear down on you. Get over it. But you let him out, Peter, so I'm coming to you about this thing. So get over it. Wouldn't it be, and please, I want to be very careful here this morning to not make it sound like I'm being completely insensitive, because I can do that really well. I just want you to listen to me very carefully this morning. At what point in your life are you going to get over it? Whatever that was. When? Well, it was a horrible thing in my childhood. You're 40. Now what? Now, seriously, though, but now what? Well, it was something else, and then everything. Okay, but then how long does that go on? When does the grace of God help you to get past all that and just kind of go on to what you need to be and do. So can I ask you a question? What is the point of all this Bible stuff and everything else if this isn't going to help us get over stuff? We're going to be the walking wounded for the rest of our life? No, that's no good. At some point, we can become more than conquerors through him that loved us. At some point, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. At some point, that kicked in for a lot of people in the Bible. Why not you and me? Because we want to hold on to it. So that's where we hold on to the forgive, bitterness issues, all that junk. Get over it. With the help and the grace of God, you can get over it and get past it and get on with it and do what you need to do in your life. They call it having closure. I have stopped telling people that when a loved one dies, well, now you can have closure. There's no closure to that. That loved one is in heaven. Their loss is still felt by us. There's no closure. I don't want closure. I have loved ones in heaven. I got a picture of my grandparents up on my desk in my study. I don't want closure with them. I still think about them often. And my wife's grandparents, and what great people they were to us. I don't want a closure on that. But I don't live in the grief of their loss. They're in heaven. It's all good. Brother Bill Smith, yesterday at 3:20 in the afternoon, drew his last breath on this earth and drew his next breath in heaven. Now, for his wife and family, it's difficult, tough, tender spot. But for him, heaven, that's not bad, you know. That's a very good prospect. But closure, I don't want closure. But I'm not going to live like I have sorrow, not as others that have no hope. Everybody I've ever said goodbye to as a child of God, I'm going to say a one great big hello to one day in heaven. And that's going to settle all these issues. You understand that? What is that to you? What are you supposed to get over this? Is there still tender spots in our grief? Well, of course there is. That's not bad. That's fine. But do we live like we're sorrow with no hope? Nope, that's not us. We don't do that. When there's loss, does that mean it's over? No, it isn't. It means we've lost. And we've lost something or someone or something's happened to us. Okay, fine. But it's not over, you know. Just, we can get over that. We can get past this now. Grace is good. Mercy's fresh and new evermore. God's good here. Jesus is just simply asking him the question, when are you going to get over this? Let's get on with it now. So how would you answer those questions honestly to the Lord this morning? Let's stand our feet, please, would you?